The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
As it was interesting to hear Niall there tell us that only 5 cases associated with pubs. And yet the new laws, which the Vintners Federation of Ireland has just put out a statement about, they're scathing of the decision that restaurants and pubs serving food now have to record all individual food orders and keep the data for 28 days. This, they're claiming, is bureaucracy gone mad and will add a huge burden to already struggling businesses. Okay, all food orders for 28 days and keep them. I wonder, will they have to actually check the plates when they come back to see if people have actually eaten the food? We're joined by Sinead O'Carroll, editor of thejournal.ie, and first by Daniel McConnell, Irish Examiner political editor, because last night, tell us a bit about Fine Gael leader Leo Varadkar's comments at the parliamentary party meeting, which seemed to be, again, not for the first time, somewhat at odds with official government policy.
Yeah, Leo Varadkar seems to be taking a leaf out of his former constituency colleague Joan Burton's approach of government in trying to almost act like an opposition spokesperson from within government. Leo Varadkar has, at various stages of the last 2 weeks or so, made this issue of Ireland being the only country where our pubs are not open and that we have far heavier restrictions in terms of movement than others, even though our COVID numbers are still relatively and comparatively low. Now, Taoiseach Micheál Martin was out at lunchtime today with Pascal Dunhuigh launching the new staycation subsidy, and he was asked about Leo Varadkar's comments last night. He insisted that the government is acting on a collective, we're acting to public health advice, we've always done that, we're going to continue to do that, essentially taking a kind of a cautious approach. But there are a range of opinions coming out from within government, because the sort of anger that we saw today at that press conference from a group of Monaghan publicans is being reflected by representatives and TDs in virtually every party, and they do see the inconsistencies within the legislation. You know, but like, there's a growing sort of unhappiness around this, the €9 substantial meal rule versus what they see going on in other countries, which is socially distanced, no problem, people drinking, not being excessive or breaching those rules. But yet, I think events in the Berlin Bar earlier this month or last month certainly have spooked public health officials, and I do think there has been a kind of a feeling growing within government parties that the approach taken has been overly cautious, and certainly the feeling from many in Fine Gael who I've spoken to between last night and again today feel that the Taoiseach was merely reflecting that view and that unhappiness.
But Sinead O'Carroll, this two Taoiseach theory that some people are putting forward, is this going to put further strains on government cohesion if yet again something which should be decided at cabinet level is being discussed independently by Leo Varadkar outside the cabinet?
Well, I had to laugh there when Daniel said that he's learning from Joan Burton, because I thought he was going to say that he's learning from his former self, because it's very reminiscent of how Leo Varadkar acted when he was the thorn in Enda Kenny's side for all those years when Enda Kenny was leader of Fine Gael, and we'd often get a soundbite from Leo Varadkar that would be at odds with what we'd be hearing from the Fine Gael leadership. And I think that's kind of what's happening here. Leo Varadkar is very comfortable in that role, in being a little bit contrarian to what's happening at the top, which is obviously in this case Micheál Martin. I think it's also a very, very difficult balancing act for the government parties. And Daniel mentioned Berlin Bar there. And your text lines, I'm sure, Matt, will show it. There's probably a 50-50 split in society at the moment of people who want to remain very, very cautious, who don't like the idea of people being in bars, who don't like the idea of opening up travel. And then the other 50% of people want to get back to normal. They're looking at Europe, saying every other pub in Europe is open, whether they serve food or not. So, we need to get to that point. We need to be able to get on airplanes again. So you can see that is a really, really difficult balancing act for not only all of us in society, but for the government parties as well. And at the moment, it does kind of feel like they're trying to not just listen to those who are the loudest, but as you said, like the Vintners statement, it's a pretty loud statement, so it'll be hard, I think, for them to keep the pubs closed for much longer. We're already at 25 weeks for those 3,000 pubs.
Sinead, you mentioned airplanes as well. And it's interesting that Eamon Ryan told the Dáil today that they are looking to try and return to some sort of normality in relation to international travel as well in the coming months, easing the restrictions there, which presumably is very important to maintain the connectivity that Ryanair and Aer Lingus offer us at a time when both of those airlines are battling with the government, and also given the importance to the economy of all the aviation-related business in Shannon and the aircraft leasing sector in Ireland as well.
Pretty much every sector, and just how we live our lives as well. Like, you know, we're an island at the edge of Europe. We're very connected to the Americas. There has to be a point where that connectivity for business and for tourism and for how we live has to get back up and running in the same way that it has in a lot of other countries. We can't be left behind. But this is one of the problems, because our health system isn't up to what other countries have. This is why we could be left behind. It's not because we're not reopening. It's because we can't reopen, because the health system just won't be able to handle it. And I think that's where Roisin Short, all the talking in the Dáil today, we don't just need a medium-term plan. We also need a plan for now, so that these increasing numbers or fluctuating numbers we're seeing of COVID cases aren't going to impact us to a point that we can't open up, or that if we do, we're going to be in major, major trouble health-wise.
Daniel McConnell, the Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue refused to be drawn when I interviewed him on Tuesday about the future for public sector pay increases, which had been anticipated, and as to whether there would be social welfare increases as well in next month's budget, particularly for old age pensioners. But he did have something to say today in relation to income tax. What was that?
Clear, Matt, that he will not be advocating the increase in income tax in October's budget. He's making it very clear that there's so much uncertainty in relation to tax revenues, even though they've been pretty resilient here in Ireland over the summer. But, you know, given the level of expenditures that we've had to engage in as a country to try and just essentially keep the show on the road, we just don't know, number one, how big the COVID bill will be ultimately, but two, what the long-term implications will be in terms of our finances and our national debt. But I think what he did make clear was that going down the route of increasing personal taxation and the primary income tax rate is not on the agenda for now, which I think will be welcome for a lot of people who have obviously either seen their working hours reduced or gone or eliminated altogether. But for those remaining in the workforce, I suppose they can breathe some sigh of relief that there will be no income tax. I suppose he was less certain on other taxation issues. I mean, he did raise that obviously that the increase in carbon taxes are likely to increase as flagged last year, and obviously that's been a bone of contention in recent years, and there are other kind of non-income taxes that are likely to increase. He has to deal with the property tax issue in sooner rather than later, because that's been essentially stuck in a holding pattern since 2013, and he has flagged previously that they're likely to see some modest increases on that front. But, you know, in terms of taxing employment, I think the government would be very wise to not go down that route, given I suppose it can be seen as an impediment to employment.
Okay. Today he was involved in launching this new stay and spend scheme designed to boost domestic tourism in the off season. What's in it though, and how complicated a scheme is it?
Well, they were doing their best to try and decomplicate it or uncomplicate it, Matt. It was basically what it, if you spend €625 between October and a point next year. And if you basically download an app onto your phone and you keep your receipts, you will make contact with Revenue. They'll see that your spend of how much it is up to a limit of 625, and you'll get €125 back by way of tax credit. So it, they see it as a way of encouraging spending in Ireland during the off season, where, you know, and they're pointing to sort of the midterm break, Christmas, and then kind of into the new year, where people might be tempted to stay at home, maybe take a trip down the country somewhere and spend a few quid. But I think the idea of running it through an app and on your phone is to try and make it as simple as possible, because I think when they initially launched this during the July stimulus plan, people were saying this is going to be a nightmare, you know, from a bureaucracy point of view. I know there had been some discussions in government about, you know, do you go down issuing a cheque route, but I think they've decided to go away from that because I just think it's probably too cumbersome. But, you know, whether or not it's sufficient in order to get people spending remains to be seen. But I think there has been a kind of a muted, if not broad welcome to the idea, but I think the general sense from the hospitality sector, it's only one step. An awful lot more is needed.
And to finish, Sinead O'Carroll is editor of the journal.ie. What's the word on the EU commissioner?
We're going to hear in the next 2 days, we've been told by the Taoiseach, about who are our nominees. We will have one male and one female nominee from Ireland.
Sorry, female and one male. Let's get the order correct here, Sinead.
Sorry, I actually did see tweets about that. It should be one or the other. Apologies. It should be one over the other. There has been, I think, too much of a fuss made. The government's own fault for making a fuss over the fact that it has to be a male and a female, or a female and a male. It's something that Ursula von der Leyen has been talking about since before she took over in her role. And I think she says that she's trying to get the Commission to lead by example, because there's still huge gender gaps in Europe across leadership and management of businesses, in terms of pay gaps, in terms of violent experiences. So she says that the Commission has to lead by example, and she's trying to get 50% of the Commission at all levels being balanced. Her commissioners still aren't balanced. There's only 11 women out of the 27. So this is why she wants two nominees. And it would be an incredibly bad sign of Ireland if they can't find one man and one woman who are qualified enough to become EU commissioner. So all this talk about the best person not going to get the job because we have to put two people forward is quite frankly ridiculous, and they should just get on with it, in my opinion.
Sinead O'Carroll, editor of the journal.ie. Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner. Thank you for being with us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.